You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up, we have National MP Jamie Lee Ross. Good afternoon, Jamie Lee.
Afternoon, Amanda.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Oh, that's good. I had the week
in Rasna in the middle of the North Island and ending the week with you just about.
Oh, lovely. First up, we're going to be talking about trade today. So US President Trump has signed an executive order pulling out of the TPPA, but Prime Minister Bill English wants to meet with the remaining TPPA partner countries to figure out a different trade deal. What will something like this entail?
Well, it's not unexpected that Trump pulled out of it. He's been saying that on the campaign trail. What it means is we go back and talk to our friends, the other countries that are involved in TPP, and see what can be done. There are still big opportunities there with trade agreements for New Zealand, and it's not just TPP focused. I mean, there's negotiations with the European Union underway. There's this trade agreement being negotiated called RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. That's basically a TPP-style trade agreement, but without the US, but also including China and India. And Japan's part of RCEP as well. So getting Japan and India through RCEP would be great. And there might be the opportunity for other countries that were looking at TPP to do something without the US. So, look, it's not the end of the world. We would have loved a free trade agreement with the US, and TPP would have achieved that. But we're a small country that prides itself on negotiating high-quality trade agreements, and we'll keep doing that.
That agreement with those other countries, what kind of timeline are we looking at for that?
Oh, how long's a piece of string? TPP took quite a number of years. A trade agreement can be done fairly quickly, or it can take many, many years. The EU, when Bill English was over in the European Union recently, they were talking about completing a trade agreement in a few years. That's quite fast for a trade agreement. So, look, I don't have the answer to that. No one really will. We have to give you an answer to that. It depends on where the negotiating sits and what countries want.
All right. And what about trade with the US? Trump put forward the idea of a one-on-one trade deal with New Zealand or the TPP countries. Is that something that the Prime Minister would consider?
I think we're the type of country that will always consider trading opportunities, but it has to be New Zealand's best interest too. And if Mr. Trump wants to do a trade agreement that benefits the US in a big way and we're not winning enough ourselves, then you know we'd have to consider our options there. We don't just blindly go into trade agreements, but if there's a win-win on both sides, then we'd consider that. But if, for example, they wanted huge protections around intellectual property and we weren't getting sufficient trading gains, then we'd have to consider whether it was even in our best interest. But hey, it's early days. He's only been in office a week, and this is just something that's come up recently, and there'd be a lot of water to go under the bridge on that.
Yeah, because also Labor's pretty sceptical about that happening anytime soon because they don't believe that New Zealand's kind of at the top of the US's list of trade partners. What's your response to that? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's probably accurate. I don't think we're high on the agenda for the United States. But the good thing about New Zealand from a trading perspective is that we're often seen as a country that's non-threatening to other countries to do trade agreements with. And China, we were the first country in the world to get a free trade agreement with China. Since then, our exports to China have quadrupled. Our service exports, goods exports have quadrupled. Service exports have tripled. Those are huge gains for a small country like us. And they were comfortable doing that because we're a non-threatening nation to just about every other nation in the world. So that could be a reason to go with us. Let's wait and see.
Yeah, and lastly on trade, if a deal isn't agreed upon with the US, what are the implications of not having a trade deal like that under Trump's government?
Well, it stays the same. The market access gains that we would have got under TPP won't go ahead, and the barriers, the tariffs that are in place would just remain in place. We would love to see trading barriers broken down where we can, but they have to be on good terms for New Zealand as well. And nothing would change if no agreement was to go ahead. We just wouldn't get the gains we otherwise would have under TPP.
Right, and moving over to a different topic now, Peter Thiel has had citizenship in New Zealand since 2011. So for people who don't know, he's worth billions. He created PayPal and he's on the Facebook board and he donated $1.5 million to Trump's campaign. He's done a lot of things. He was also, it seems, given fast-track citizenship in 2011 since he'd never lived in the country. What's your kind of response to that? That's normally given as a special circumstance visa, normally given to, for humanitarian concerns or in the interest of the nation. Why was he given that special treatment?
I'm actually really struggling to get too excited about this because it actually happens on a relatively regular basis. Something like 300 special exemptions are granted every year around citizenship, if what I've read in the media is correct. Why it's not unusual is because quite often there are people that don't fit the exact rules in citizenship under the Act, and they can apply for an exemption and make a case that they have special circumstances which warrant the granting of citizenship. And the minister can decide if it's in the public interest for humanitarian or other reasons. Don't forget the or other reasons. Then they can be granted citizenship. So by the looks of it, haven't been involved in the decision, and it was several years ago, but by the looks of it, this individual came to New Zealand in 2006, was given residency when Labour was in office under an investor category, met the criteria under that visa, became a permanent resident, and then wanted to be a New Zealand citizen. He probably, because of his travel, was unable to meet the time spent in New Zealand requirements, but because of a range of other investment reasons and philanthropic reasons, he would have been granted citizenship by the minister. Nathan Guise said that he was given advice from his officials to grant it. It wasn't as though the minister decided all by himself without the backing of officials to grant citizenship. Looks as though the officials recommended, for a range of reasons, that this guy should be granted citizenship. Happens on a relatively regular basis, and I don't find it that surprising. The only surprising thing is that this guy's political connections in the United States are being used against him by a Labour MP. That's a bit low, but hey, Ian Lees-Galloway is free to do what he wants in the media.
I'm interested that you mentioned investment as part of possibly the reason why he got that visa, because he had given around $15 million into a Crown investment. Do you know what that entailed at all?
No, I don't. But New Zealand is a country that needs investment, and we get a lot of people coming to this country. They get investor category visas because they've invested money in the New Zealand economy. That's a good thing. It means there's more money coming to New Zealand. It means we have more funds available within our country to grow businesses, to create jobs. And that's the reason why investment is a pathway towards residency and citizenship. So it's not unusual. It's a positive for New Zealand. And we should be welcoming successful people coming to our country, wanting to become part of our country. And if someone has a greater tie to the country through residency or through citizenship, then they inevitably invest more in New Zealand, they spend more time here, they become closer connected to New Zealand. If they weren't doing it here, they'd be doing it in another country. And if we were to shut the doors, we'd lose a lot of opportunities for our country.
Yeah, sure, and he is putting money into the economy for sure. But I guess I'm interested because of the kind of limit on the refugee intake this year and just talking about how New Zealand can't sustain that, but when it's someone who has a lot of money like Peter Thiel, it seems like we can make exceptions for that.
Well, go back a step and look at the whole citizenship and residency rules. They're designed to let the right type of people into New Zealand, and also designed to ensure that people coming to New Zealand are adding and bringing a benefit to New Zealand and can sustain themselves mostly. From time to time, rules are made which allow for people to come here where we assist them more than they bring to the country. And refugee category is a perfect example where it's very valid for us to be doing that. But we can't do it on a wholesale basis, and we have to be cautious about the demands that are placed on the New Zealand system. The the refugee category was increased because we felt there was more capacity there to take in more refugees. The advice I recall at the time was, if we take more refugees and above what we were already allocating in additional refugee numbers, we wouldn't actually have the services to support those people. We'd end up bringing them to New Zealand, not having the wraparound support services for them, and they'd actually be worse off. So the immigration system's there to bring the right type of people in. And I don't think you can really compare this individual with the refugee category, because he clearly would be able to support himself. and wouldn't be a demand on New Zealand services. We need to have high-quality people coming here to New Zealand to invest more in our country and support New Zealand more. It's not unusual for this to happen. It's a very regular issue for people to come here and are investing and are bringing funds to New Zealand. It's a positive thing we should be supporting because we're better off as a country by allowing that to happen.
Yeah, and you're talking about the right kind of people and a lot about money and what they can invest and bring to the country. Are you saying then that refugees aren't able to bring as much to the country, maybe not economically, but in other ways?
Well, there are many refugees that come to New Zealand, and we benefit as a nation by having that diversity in the country. The point I was making is that when a refugee comes to New Zealand, there are support services that the taxpayer provides to them. Most people coming to New Zealand through the immigration system don't require government support through social services. And the immigration system, which sees thousands of people every year coming to New Zealand, is typically geared around bringing people that are bringing skills, bringing investment, or coming here for family reasons. It's not uncommon. And citizenship grants, by exception, are relatively common as well. And as a local MP, I see people every year in my office who need help through immigration or citizenship. They might not meet the rules for a particular reason, but if there's a case that can be made that they are bringing more to New Zealand than they're costing New Zealand, then you can make an argument for an exception to a minister. It happens on a regular basis, and I've had many people in my office who may have missed out on the time requirements for a particular reason, but they can provide a good reason why they haven't been able to meet the time requirements, make an exceptional circumstances argument. It's not just humanitarian grounds where we assist people through the ministerial exceptions. There's very many reasons why that happens. It's pretty common, and we shouldn't get too excited about it.
All right. Thank you, Jamie Lee, for speaking. I'll talk to you next week.
Cheers. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.